This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Ooh, last season was a bad season for wide receivers. We had only 11 wide receivers average 15 or more PPR fantasy points last season, minimum of 8 games played. That's down from 16 the year before that, 18 the year before that, 17 the year before that, 18 to 20 in the 4 seasons before that. You get the picture. It was ugly. Is wide receiver going to bounce back this year? Just remember, some of those first-round picks last year, Malik Nabers got hurt, CeeDee Lamb got hurt, Justin Jefferson got McCarthy'd. We're hoping for better things this year. Welcome to the show. Let's see if Dave and Heath are optimistic about the position. Heath, how you feeling about wide receiver this year? By the way, this is part one of at least 2 wide receiver previews. How you feeling, Heath?
I am so excited to talk about wide receivers. It is going to be a huge bounce back season. I can't wait to talk about Luther Burden. I can't wait to talk about Zay Flowers. I can't wait to talk about some of these guys available in rounds 5, 6, 7 that could also be awesome. Great position. Very excited. Happy Heath.
Ooh, wait, where's the sound bite? Sorry. There we go. Happy Heath, happy life. Dave, how you feeling about wide receiver?
I don't like that you cut off the sound bite. We don't hear the dun-dun at the end of the very first part of that. I'm not quite as optimistic as Heath is. I still think that NFL offenses may not choose to adjust to what defenses are doing with the passing game when they can still just hammer away with the run game. It depends on the team. It depends on the running backs. I do think more effort will be made on figuring out how to create explosive plays against too high. But that's fancy football talk. We're not necessarily here for that. I do agree that there is going to be a lot of fun in going through that 3rd through 5th tier of wide receivers. The guys that we're going to draft with expectations of around 12, 13 PPR points per game and figure out which ones from those tiers could end up elevating and finishing as a top 12 or top 15 wide receiver.
Well, I'll tell you, man, one of the disappointing things about wide receiver the last 2 years has been wide receivers 13 through 18 in average draft position. So that's 12 wide receivers. 8 of them have been what I would call a mega bust. They finished outside the top 30 overall, sometimes due to injury, sometimes due to bad performance. Last year, wide receivers 13 through 18 were Tyreek Hill, Jackson something or other for Seattle. He stunk. He was awesome, obviously. Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, Garrett Wilson, and Devontae Adams. We had 2 great ones there. We had 4 that, for one reason or another, really stunk. And that's an area of the draft. That's like round 3 and into round 4 that I used to love for wide receiver. And it has let us down 2 years in a row. So who is that this year? That would be Malik Nabers, currently wide receiver 13, 30th overall. Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers, Garrett Wilson, Emeka Abuka, Tetero McMillan. Kind of love. I mean, I don't love every single one, but I think as a group,
it's like half of them I love and half of them I'm a little nervous about.
And we got T. Higgins and Ladd McConkey and Luther Burden and Jalen Waddle right after that. And guess what? We're gonna feel a lot better about them today than we will at the end of the season. But maybe finding the right guy in that range is the secret to winning your fantasy league. TM. I don't know about that. Anyway, let's start with your overall strategy. Heath, you got a wide receiver strategy this year?
Just like running back, it really depends on where I'm drafting. If I have a pick 3 through 6, then there's a very good chance I'm going to take wide receivers with 2 of my first 3 picks. If I'm picking at one of the ends, then I'm probably going to take a wide receiver with at least one of my first 3 picks. I would like to have 5 wide receivers by the time we get to round 10, so I can use those picks after round 10 on handcuff running backs.
I love it. Dave, how about you?
I think this is the most important position to figure out before you go into your drafts. If you only have 20 minutes to spend before your drafts this year to figure out what you want to do, go to a wide receiver rankings page. Figure out how many of them you look at and say, okay, those are bona fide stud number one wide receivers. If your number is less than 12, then you know that you probably need to prioritize drafting at least one of those wide receivers. Now, if your number is more than 12, you can probably wait a little bit. I also think you need to look and see where your red line is on number two wide receivers. The guys that you look at and you say, okay, if my season start, my season's about to start, I'm okay starting receiver X at wide receiver two, and he's the last one. If that number is lower than, let's call it 25, then you need to prioritize both receiver positions, and you need to kind of hurry your fanny a little bit to get those spots filled on your roster. And that might mean taking only one running back with your first three, four, or even five picks. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But if you love a lot of wide receivers, then you can wait on that position a little bit. I think getting one wide receiver with at least your first four picks won't kill you too bad, but you want to have two with your first six. And I agree with Heath. You want to spend those bench spots more so on running backs and handcuffs and maybe a second tight end or a second QB, depending on how your league is. I do not want to have a bench full of wide receivers unless I'm just getting ridiculous value in the late rounds.
I think come up with a number. For me, it's 25, 26, right around there, of wide receivers that I want two of them. And I'd be happy to have three of them if the board falls that way, but I definitely want to get at least two of them, because wide receiver 26 for consensus is Christian Watson, 27 is Evans. I prefer Evans. Evans is kind of like the last guy, and he's going about 60th overall. And I think about him just real quick. The similarities I see to maybe George Pickens, who was going around the same time last year. Now, obviously, they're very different players, but they're going to a new team. That new team is really good offensively. You're getting a discount on Evans. It's like the lowest his ADP has been in who knows how long. But anyway, just figure out your group. I think two of the top 26 for me I really want, and I'd be happy to have three of them. But a point I would make about wide receiver, and oh, by the way, do you guys have a number? I want two of my top whatever in my rankings.
Mine's 25.
Yeah, I think I have 25 projected for more than 12 fantasy points per game. So that's probably the number.
Okay, great. So somewhere around there for everybody, 25, 26. And that is typically going to take you to the end of round five. So that's, you know, let me just see where wide receiver 26 is going in ADP. 55th overall this year. So, but still, there's Mike Evans, Romo Dunze, going about 60th overall. Anyway, there are more, like I said in the running backs preview, more so at this position than running back, you will find guys later in drafts that make a bigger impact. You know, you'll find like usually a few players drafted 97th or later, that's the beginning of round nine every year, that finish in the top 24. You're just not going to find that truly elite guys back there. You did with like Brian Thomas Jr. maybe a few years ago, but it's a better position in that respect than running back, where you do see more success stories later in the draft. But also, a lot of times you start more wide receivers, because you might play in a three receiver league, you might play in a PPR league, and you need more. All right, so how about your strategy in different formats, non-PPR, half PPR? How does it change?
Obviously, I'm going to wait a little bit longer to attack those positions. Half PPR, not as much as non-PPR. My first round pick in a non-PPR league is going to be a running back. It just doesn't matter. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's great, but those running backs tend to get more yards, more touchdowns than wide receivers do. So that's probably the direction I'll go in more often than not in the early rounds. And then once you get to like the middle of drafts, they're all kind of the same anyway, regardless of format. Maybe a few players that catch a lot of passes and don't have the efficiency will get an uptick compared to the receivers that have sky high upside, but you're hoping for them to get a lot of yards and touchdowns. That's the main difference to me.
Heath, how about a three receiver league versus a two receiver league?
I generally draft more receivers in a three wide receiver league and draft them earlier in a three wide receiver league than I do in a two wide receiver league. This has been your groundbreaking fantasy advice from Heath Cummings.
But how about, do you have all right, Trey McBride or Brock Bowers is sitting there at the 26th overall pick or something like that. I have one wide receiver with my first two picks. Because for me, in a two-receiver league, I'm probably taking the tight end. Three-receiver league, I'm probably going wide receiver.
This now, feels like something that we talked about on the tight end show, but yes, fine. You should take the tight ends earlier relative to the wide receivers when you can only start two wide receivers because you're not taking as many wide receivers and you're not taking them as early because it's not a three wide receiver league.
Don't make it out to be so cut and dried and so obvious, okay? But fair enough.
Dave, is that the most cut and dried and obvious question we will have?
It's pretty obvious, yes.
I don't think it is that obvious. All right, well, fine. I knew I had a stat, by the way, like on the tip of my tongue, and I was getting around it, but I couldn't figure it out. But here it is. Wide receivers drafted round 9 or later in a 12-team league. In the past 6 seasons, there have been 36 wide receivers, 6 per year, drafted in round 9 or later that have finished either top 24 or top 24 per game. That's a pretty big deal. And in the first 5 of those seasons, we had 2 rookies every year. Last year, we had 0. Dave, you think we'll have any rookies drafted pick 97 or later that finished top 24 overall or per game?
The only one, at this point, the only one that I really feel like has a chance to do that would be Carnell Tate. And he does it, he's more like, he'll finish like wide receiver 23.
His ADP is currently 66.
Yeah, not close.
Yeah, probably so that not. That doesn't really cut it.
But Lemon is 98th, and Concepcion is later than that.
It was Denzel Boston Day at Browns camp yesterday, so don't forget about him either.
Okay. Look, it might not happen. It didn't look like it was going to happen last year, and it didn't. It might not happen again this year. But okay. Let's get back to some strategy. Actually... Should we just do sleepers? Let's just do sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Let's go to that. Let's get a sleeper from you guys. Heath, why don't you start?
My favorite sleeper was everybody's favorite sleeper, but on Fantasy Pros, Josh Downs still has an ADP in round 10. And so Josh Downs is my favorite sleeper wide receiver. And he's going to get a chance to play outside, going to get a chance to play in 2 wide receiver sets, has a chance to lead the team in targets. Alec Pierce is... still not healthy. I have downgraded Alec Pierce in a full PPR league. I would draft Josh Downs before Alec Pierce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. Let's get a lot of Alec Pierce. Dave, who's a sleeper for you? I mean, a lot of Josh Downs. Josh Downs, not Pierce. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Okay. My sleeper's a little bit later than that, and it's Jalen Coker in Carolina. Look at me being excited about a Panthers pass catcher. But it's the value to me, the fact that you're able to get him probably in those double-digit rounds, no question. Look at how he finished last year in Carolina when he was finally healthy and in the swing of things, basically producing the same type of numbers as Teteroa McMillan. And I'm not ready to commit to saying that McMillan is going to just take this huge target share and Jalen Coker is going to be left with 4 per game. And whatever they want to say about Xavier Leggett looking better in camp, I'm not buying that. I think the Panthers have 2 quality wide receivers, and I think they're going to lean on both of them. And I think they're going to be in a bunch of games where they have to lean on both of them. And if McMillan's going to draw more coverage, then I think Coker takes advantage of the situation. He's a receiver that I'd like to have at least on my bench to begin the year and potentially serve as a number 3 receiver as the season rolls on.
And I almost put somebody in the chat had said something about Debo. I almost said Debo. I didn't want to say Debo or Diggs because their ADP is getting ready to go up a lot higher than it was before. But those are also good sleeper options that currently have an ADP that's lower than it should be.
Yeah, actually, why don't we take a look at, let's say, the last 4 days in NFC ADP and see where Debo Samuel's going. Curious, but... So the sleepers for Dave, it was Jalen Coker, who, if you look at the last 6 games of the year for Carolina, including their playoff game, he had 1 fewer target than Teteroa McMillan. And for Heath, it was Josh Downs, and I've killed enough time. Debo Samuel was going 131st overall in 23 drafts since August 2nd, Heath.
Huge, huge, I think, value and a great sleeper option, I would say, in round 11.
Let's take a little break here. And when we come back, we will have our favorite breakout for this year and a bust. And I will also ask Heath why he has Puka Nacua as his wide receiver 4, right? No, not yeah. Yeah, you do, right?
I think I currently have him as wide receiver 4, yes. Yeah.
and I will ask you guys when to take the first wide receiver, and so on and so forth. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Let's get some breakout candidates. Heath, who's your favorite breakout?
Oh, baby, it's Luther Burden. You know, we hoped it was Luther Burden all summer, and then we got to training camp, and it is just Luther Burden, Luther Burden, Luther Burden, Luther Burden. It comes from Ben Johnson. It comes from the general manager. It comes from the offensive coordinator. It comes from DeAndre Swift most recently. Everybody who watches the Bears practice says, good grief, Luther Burden is going to be a star. Luther Burden's star turn starts this year. You said he wasn't one of the top 18 wide receivers. He is a top 18 wide receiver for me. He's a round three pick for me. His ADP is currently at the end of round four. So you can take Zay Flowers in round three, take Luther Burden in round four, and man, are you set.
Would you rather have Colson Loveland or Luther Burden?
That is one that I've really, really gone back and forth on. They are both in round three for me now. I just did a rankings update this morning and moved them both into round three and moved Luther Burden or moved Colson Loveland ahead of Trey McBride. So we'll just say that depends on whether you are in a two wide receiver or a three wide receiver league. In a three wide receiver league, take Luther Burden. In a two wide receiver league, take Colson Loveland.
What about taking both of them? Burden round four, Loveland.
Love it.
Really?
Love it. Take Rome with the 5-6 turn. Take Caleb in round seven. Put some running backs at the top of your draft. You're going to the moon.
Okay. Dave, who's a breakout for you?
That bastion of passing in Chicago that we've come to know and love over the last three plus decades. I'm going to go with Abuka. By the way, I like Loveland more than Burden because I'd rather have the breakout tight end, the breakout wide receiver, but I do like them both. I just don't love the idea of hyper stacking Bears players. You know how I feel about Emeka Buka. I'm certainly not backing down from it now. Last season, he started red hot. It was, 20 PPR points per game in his first five games? 20.5. I'll be exact, Adam. And then he hurt his hamstring, and then the Bucks got beat up everywhere. Their game scripts got out of whack. And he struggled, but he still got a lot of targets the rest of the season, even with the hamstring injury from Baker Mayfield, 7.7 targets per game. And that includes a stretch when Mike Evans came back week 15 plus, when Abuka's targets nosedived, it was down to 4.3. What do we know about the Bucs offense now? Well, first of all, pretty much everybody's healthy. Tristan Wirfs has an injury. That's their left tackle, but he's expected back during the preseason. We know that Jalen McMillan, this is news that just came out, has a knee injury. There's no timetable for his return. That's one less wide receiver in the mix for Tampa potentially to start the year. And Abuka's looked good throughout the start of training camp. He's been the number one guy. He's going to continue to be the number one guy. I still firmly believe that Tampa Bay is going to do a lot of passing this year. Baker's fired up because he wants a new contract. As long as those principles stay on the field for Tampa, I think Emeka Abuka has top 12 upside this year, and you're drafting him in early round four. I would take him a full round sooner than that just to lock up one of the best young wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, a couple more things on Abuka. If you weren't convinced that his injury is what held him back, don't forget also Baker Mayfield had a bunch of injuries last year, but ESPN had a note from NFL Next Gen Stats, so now we've got like a lot of sources here, but it said a week 6 hamstring injury robbed Abuka of his top speed. NFL Next Gen Stats tracking data had Abuka with 11 routes of at least 18 miles per hour through the first 5 weeks of the season, and 11 such routes in the remaining 12 weeks of the season after the hamstring injury. And then there's this just insane stat of the last 3 years when Mike Evans has been on the field. Mike Evans has had more than 50% of their end zone targets. So when Evans has been on the field since in the Baker Mayfield era, he has had 45 end zone targets. Next up is Godwin and Kate Otten with 9 each. It's such an opportunity now for all these guys to get those targets that were just automatically going to Mike Evans more than 50% of the time. All right, so we got Abuka and Burden as breakouts, and you can get them in rounds 3 and 4 if you want. And how about a bust? Dave, we'll start with you.
I actually like the value of a lot of wide receivers that are going in the first 5 rounds, but one that stands out to me that might be going a little too high is Jameson Williams. And I'm just not convinced that he's going to get the target volume necessary to be an outstanding fantasy wide receiver, to be at least a number two fantasy wide receiver. And look at last year after the bye. We know that Dan Campbell was calling plays, and we saw J-Mo get the workload we finally wanted. 7.2 targets per game, 16.2 PPR points per game, a target per route run rate of 18.6%. These are all great numbers, but that was over 10 games where Sam Laporta was off the field for 8 of them. And I am just nervous that Laporta is going to take a bigger piece of the pie than he has previously, based on the new play caller, based on the direction that I think the Lions offense wants to go in, and based on the fact that defenses are going to have to defend J-Mo's deep speed, and that's going to open things up underneath for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. And it's been that way. We've seen it for a big chunk of the last 2 years. And I think the best way to view Jamison Williams is as a boom or bust number three wide receiver, and maybe the best boom or bust number three wide receiver that you could draft. But I don't think that's worth taking in the first 5 rounds, or maybe not even the first 6 rounds.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. In fact, I would say Jamison Williams is not one of my 25 to 26 guys that I want 2 of. He's just after that. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. Number three wide receiver.
Heath?
He is the perfect number three wide receiver. Put him in a bucket with Christian Watson and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brian Thomas Jr.
Yep.
and Alec Pierce if he's healthy. And like those guys hopefully will win you 7 weeks, and hopefully you can cover for the rest.
Okay, Heath, who's a bust for you?
I hate to say this, so I want to remind people that this is not a subjective thing where I hate this person. He's awesome. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But Mike Evans is going to be 33 years old in about 2 weeks. Happy birthday. He is coming off of a year in which he played 8 games. He's battled soft tissue issues for each of the last 2 years, at least, and currently, as of right now, is battling a soft tissue issue. He had 6 games last year with 7 or more targets and was below 60 yards in all but one of them. I can't do it. I'm not drafting him in the first 6 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, as the guy who just said I really want, or he's one of the guys I like, I think I like him because he's barely going in the first 6 rounds. I mean, he's going 60 seconds. He's going at the beginning of the 6th round. I think I'm like a round, I don't want to take him at the beginning of the 5th round, but I've also noticed, looking at the best value picks in, let's say, rounds 4 through 6, I think I mentioned this a day or two ago, whether it's running back, whether it's wide receiver, there's not really a big difference. There might be as many guys that hit in round 6 than do in round 4. So, if you have a conviction about Mike Evans and you have to take him early, then fine. I just think, like, the guys going behind him, there aren't that many. Like, Carnell Tate. So after him, it's Romo Dunze, Carnell Tate, Christian Watson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Cortland Sutton, Brian Thomas Jr. That's why I like Mike Evans.
I think all of those guys, and from what I expect, are kind of a similar profile this year. Like, I acknowledge Mike Evans, if he's able to stay healthy and play 13 or 14 games, could have a Davante Adams-like season where he just scores all of the touchdowns and has 900 yards and is a top 20 wide receiver. That's a possibility, but a lot of those younger guys could absolutely do that too, and they're not near as big of injury risks.
Yeah. If you want to play the injury card, I can't really argue against that. But I would say that he got open pretty well last year based on ESPN's open metric, Fantasy Point Status Suite's open metric. My opinion, just watching tape, I just think Baker wasn't right. I think he had some really difficult cornerback matchups early in the year before his first injury. So I'm willing to make excuses for him, but I think only because he's going 60th, basically, which is, just pretty low for the potential of the number one receiver on the 49ers. Understood.
Yeah. I will say also, like, the number one wide receiver on the 49ers in the Kyle Shanahan era there've been a couple of peak seasons, but this has historically been a team that throws to their wide receivers at a lower percentage of their pass attempts than most teams in the league, because they have Christian McCaffrey and they have George Kittle.
coming off the Achilles.
In the history of Shanahan's time in San Francisco, it's 9 years, just four times as a wide receiver averaged 7+ targets per game. All four of them averaged 13 PPR points per game. Half of them got to 15. And with all the other concerns that we've got about the 49ers, other weapons in the offense that are available or could come back and be available, the addition of Deebo Samuel as a short area target, the substation that could rob Mike Evans of further injuries. I mean, who knows what's going on with the injuries in San Francisco? The fact that the training staff hasn't been changed annually is a real concern. I'm with Heath. I'm kind of out on Mike Evans at that ADP. He's going to have to fall a little bit for me to be even moderately excited to get him. Right. I'd rather take one of those boom or bust wide receivers who might give me 7 PPR points 1 week, but then give me 20 the next. I don't think Evans has that in his profile anymore. The 20-point games. The 7-point games, unfortunately, I think are absolutely within his profile whenever he does not score.
Well, Brandon Ayuk, 2022. He had 1,000 yards in 17 games. He had 8 touchdowns. He averaged 13.5 fantasy points on 114 targets. The next year, Brandon Ayuk averaged 15.7. I'll take 13.5. 13.5 from wide receiver 26 in ADP would be awesome, I think. So,
it'd be a win.
Yeah. So let's hope we can stay healthy. All right. What do you think about the wide receiver position? And you know, look, I think people might play the kickoff card that field position changed and it hurt receivers, but field position really spiked in 2024 and it went up a little bit in 2025, but it's been around the 30-yard line, 30.5 yard line, average starting field position each of the last 2 years. 2024 was a great year for receivers. 2025 was a terrible year for receivers. Do we think it bounces back, and does it even matter? Does it influence your... does it influence your draft strategy at all when you think about like how receiver performed last year?
I don't think you're asking me if kickoffs are impacting my overall feeling on wide receivers.
People have made that connection because passing was so bad last year.
Right. I don't think it's changing. I think it is what it is now.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the new NFL, and defenses know it. And that's part of the reason why they've decided as like almost entirely to play a lot of too high coverage to deter against the big play, the explosive play. And so there's really only two options that an offense has to combat that. And one is run the ball, and the other is attack the intermediate middle of the field and hope that your pass catcher can make a play after the catch. And there's one other factor that we haven't really talked about, and it plays into that second part of what I said. It plays into the first part too. More tight ends. Teams are looking for tight ends that can line up and block, but also go and run a route and be a mismatch. The way that Brock Bowers has been a mismatch the last two seasons when he's played on the field. Same thing with Trey McBride. Teams are looking for that type of player. It got Kenyan Sadiq drafted in the middle of round one. And I think that we're going to continue to see teams gravitate toward that, not necessarily on a week-to-week basis, but when a defense comes along where they think they can win with their tight ends instead of their wide receivers in the middle of the field, they're going to attack that way. And there will be some weeks where we're going to be able to identify the defenses that suck against tight ends. And those are going to be the defenses that offense will gear up their tight ends against. And tight end production has gone up the last couple of years. Their targets have gone up. Everything for the receivers has either stayed flat or gone down. And this is another strike against expecting more from the wide receiver position, save for those wide receivers who can work that middle of the field the same way that JSN did. And it doesn't mean he has to line up in the slot and run to the middle of the field, but it does mean that he can line up wide and run an in-breaking route or a post route, you know, something that works toward the middle of the field. Receivers that can do that, they're going to be popular in their offenses, and they're therefore going to get more targets than receivers that are only going to work the perimeter. I'm thinking of guys like Cortland Sutton, like Denver's receivers, perfect example. Jaylen Waddle can do anything that the Broncos are going to ask. They've said as much. Cortland Sutton can do it, but I think he's going to end up running a ton of routes right on the numbers, if not between the numbers and the sidelines, pretty frequently.
Okay. Heath, why do you have Puka Nacua as your wide receiver 4?
I was just looking at the projections. He and Amon-Ra St. Brown are very close. I have a bigger difference in touchdowns for them than there was last year, I think. But St. Brown is one of the positive touchdown regression candidates. And I'm currently like a big chunk of Puka's, the difference between Puka and St. Brown happened in those last 3 weeks without Devontae Adams.
It's true.
And as of right now, I've got Davante Adams projected to play all year. So,
okay. It's a really awesome top four at wide receiver. Basically, the way that Dave, Jamie, and Heath have it ranked is Gibbs one, Bijan two, even in full PPR, and then four wide receivers with the next four picks. Chase being number three overall, wide receiver one, and then a little bit of a different order of Puka, JSN, Amon-Ra, St. Brown. That's, I think, for Dave and Jamie, I think it's Puka, JSN, St. Brown. Correct me if I'm wrong. And for Heath, it's JSN, St. Brown, Puka. So let's do some news and notes, and then we'll get into the ADP and knock out a few rounds here before we do part two tomorrow. So Stephon Diggs is going to sign with the Commanders, Heath, 1 year, up to $12 million. Last year, he was better than McLaurin, who had just had a really disjointed, injured, rocky year. Diggs was wide receiver 25 per game in full PPR, number 33 per game in non-PPR, right in the middle in half PPR. Is this a big impact on McLaurin? And that's the first question. And second is, when would you take Diggs?
Yeah, I think it's a bigger impact on Chig Okonkwo and any sleepers, Commander, wide receiver you might have been excited about. I think Diggs and McLaurin are pretty complementary. I still expect McLaurin to be the number one wide receiver on the team. It probably limits Terry McLaurin's upside a little bit. I think he fell from wide receiver 20 to 22 for me. I'm still probably going to be above consensus on him. Diggs is a round eight, round nine pick, and I think the big key for him is going to be two things. One, is he more of a full-time player for Washington than he was in New England, or is he still at 55% of the offensive snaps? And then two, how pass-heavy is this David Blough offense in Washington? Because if they go a little bit more pass-heavy, then we could really see both Diggs and McLaurin be startable fantasy wide receivers.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels has averaged about 31 pass attempts per game in his healthy games in both 2024 and 2025. There were only four of those in 2025. It was under Cliff Kingsbury. Dave, Stephon Diggs, you know, he had a really good year. He was 31, about to turn 32. He'll turn 33 late November. But last year he was turning 32 late November. He was coming off a torn ACL. And he was one of the most efficient wide receivers in football. And his target per out run rate last year was better than any target per out run rate that Terry McLaurin has ever had. Do you think how realistic that Diggs actually out targets McLaurin?
I don't think it's possible at all unless something happens to McLaurin. And remember, you're forgetting the context of Stephon Diggs not being an every down player in New England.
Yeah,
and I would imagine that he's not going to be an every down player for Washington either. Certainly passing downs, he's going to be on the field. But this is a team, you just said it, 31 pass attempts per game in Jaden Daniels' healthy games. It's a decent amount of passes. But I don't think it necessarily means that Diggs is going to be necessarily out there for every single one of them. But he's also not going to be out there for every single play. I think where he finished last year, it was 12 PPR points per game, 6 targets per game. Maybe that's a little too rich for me at this point, given that he's going from Drake May and being Drake May's number one wide receiver last year for all intents and purposes to now clearly being the number two wide receiver in Washington. And it's Jaden Daniels, who isn't a bad thrower, but he's not going to throw as much as Drake May potentially will this year / did last year. I'm trying to remember how many attempts per game May had.
About 29.
But I'm sure it was quite close to 31.
No, it was 29.
It was lower? 29? Okay.
29.3.
Maybe there's a pathway where he does get 6.5-7 targets per game and can get over 12 PPR points. I'm not going to draft him that way. I'm not sure where Heath said he was going to draft Stephon Diggs. Maybe we're in the same spot. It's round 9 for me as a high floor bench wide receiver.
So yes, I think he said 8-9 for Diggs. Would you take Diggs or Jalen Coker?
Coker.
Diggs.
Diggs or Downs?
Downs.
Downs, Downs.
Diggs or Jacoby Myers?
Kobe.
Diggs.
Okay. By the way, who led the Chargers in targets last year?
Keenan Allen.
Correct. The old slot receiver came in and screwed things up for the guys we were excited about. That's what Diggs is now.
Oh, and you're thinking that could happen here too?
Well, he didn't play a lot last year because he was coming off the ACL. I think he's probably not a full-time player, like you said, Dave, but that is what concerns me for McLaurin, yeah.
I think the difference, and it may not matter, but the way I see it is like Keenan Allen went back to Justin Herbert and they had this relationship where early in Herbert's career, Keenan Allen had been his number one wide receiver. Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels have that relationship and Diggs is coming into a new situation.
Yeah, but yep. He's come into a new situation 2 years in a row and done pretty well with it, including in Houston 2 years ago where we thought he was going to be maybe the third guy and he had 64 targets in 8 games. And that's all coincides with a big change in Stephon Diggs of him becoming a lower A-dot slot receiver. He's about a 50% slot guy now, about an 8.5 yard A-dot. He's just a different guy, and that's what Keenan Allen was, and that's what Julian Edelman, who had really good years late into his mid-30s. Larry Fitzgerald became that kind of player, too. This is really more of why you should be drafting Stephon Diggs. It doesn't have to hurt Terry McLaurin, but all right. Anyway, that's just me rambling. Let's get more news and notes. Jacksonville analyst Rick Ballew told Ari Marov that Brian Thomas Jr. looks better now than he did in his rookie season, that Travis Hunter will probably play more on defense than offense this season, and that Parker Washington has had the best camp, basically, I don't know necessarily of any Jaguar, but he's been a real standout. Jonathan Taylor signed a 2-year, $44 million extension with $39 million guaranteed. The Eagles are excited about Dontavian Wicks, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. There's been a decent amount of Wicks buzz. Tank Dell practiced for the first time yesterday, first time since he tore multiple knee ligaments and dislocated his kneecap in December of 2024. Aaron Donald worked out for the Rams after missing all of last year in retirement, and he looks like he could come back. And two more injuries for the 49ers. Kyle Juszczyk, their fullback, I think he has a broken hand or broken finger, and Jacob Cowing, a wide receiver, missed practice. And is tonight football night? What? Carson Beck.
Thursday night's a great night for football.
Carson Beck is going to start in the Hall of Fame game tonight, and we will make a huge deal about it one way or the other tomorrow. No, probably, hopefully not. All right, another break and ADP review, starting with Ja'Marr Chase, third overall, when we come back. First wide receiver off the board is the guy who was the first pick overall 2024. It's Ja'Marr Chase. So he's down to the third pick overall behind Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. Chase, Puka is fourth. JSN is sixth. Amon-Ra St. Brown is eighth. Heath, we can probably just leave it at that, right?
Yes. Choose your own adventure. Take Chase first. Take your... You get to decide between the next three wide receivers. You get to decide all of these choices, actually. But it's a three-headed coin flip.
Well, what do you do when you factor in Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor? Let's say you're picking, I'll arbitrarily choose sixth overall in a PPR league. And what direction do you go in? You're going to be able to look at one of those top four receivers and know that one of them will be there for sure. Do you like them more or less than the running backs? And that's a decision that you're going to have to make. Taylor, McCaffrey, they've got their flaws. They've got their upside. But I like the upside for all these other wide receivers, and they feel a little bit safer. I look at it like this. If you're picking sixth, you're almost guaranteed to get a guy that's going to be around or slightly over 20 PPR points per game. The ones that have the least amount of risk and are at the position where there's just the fewest amount of elite tier players is wide receiver. So if it's me picking sixth, I'm taking one of those four wide receivers.
Same.
Which of those four wide receivers, I'm sure the answer, well, never mind. I won't give that. Which of the four wide receivers worries you the most?
JSN.
Ew.
That was a good one. You need to clip that one, Adam.
It probably is JSN. He probably has the widest range of outcomes of the four wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because we could see their offense taking a step back.
Yeah.
We could see their offense changing, and it could mean a step back. I don't love the coordinator change. Clint Kubiak, obviously established, been calling plays for a long time, deserved that coaching role. Replacing him with Brian Fleury, same system. Same playbook, different guy. And I've said it before, I never really like it when a new guy is running the old playbook. And obviously he's going to tweak it and look at what the team has now. Is there a pathway where the Seahawks running game, just as a whole, not mentioning specific names, is better than it was last year.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then that might mean that there is a downturn in targets for Jackson Smith and Jigba. You're giving every other defense that's playing Seattle this year 6 months to figure out a way to slow him down.
Wait a second. I'm
sorry. The 10 touchdowns that he scored last year, career high, and it's a total from what he did in 2023 and 2024. It makes me a little nervous that the tenor of this offense could change that way. If the running game is way better than we thought it would, that could hurt opportunities for JSN.
I'm sorry, Dave. I thought you said the passing game better. No, I don't think the running game is going to be better, but the passing game could be better only because they had the fourth fewest pass attempts in the NFL last year.
Okay, and so if we're going to go in that direction, and I think that I'm more likely to go in that direction because Jadarian Price, great camp, still a rookie. We don't know what his role is going to be and how much. Well, we know what his role is going to be. We just don't know how much work he's going to get. Zach Charbonnet, we don't know when he's coming back, how effective he'll be. There's question marks with this backfield. And that means that it could force Seattle to throw a little bit more. And does that mean more targets for JSN? Does it mean more touchdowns for JSN? Or do they try and get other players involved? I think that that's part of the upside case for Smith and Jigba, is that Seattle actually throws the ball more, maybe because they have to, in 2026. Yeah. And that would help JSN at least come close to matching the 21.2 PPR points per game. If I was really worried about the run game being better, JSN wouldn't be somebody I would consider at sixth overall.
Yeah. Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba had the best season of any wide receiver on a team that was bottom five in pass attempts in at least the last 13 years. And they were, I think they had the third most points in the NFL. So they just had a great year. Everything went right for them. They won the freaking Super Bowl, but he's obviously a stud. Here's another thing. Jackson Smith and Jigba averaged 5.5 yards per route run on play action. And he had which led the NFL. And he had an NFL leading 44 targets on play action. So again, that great run game really helped him out. But all right, these guys are studs. And we got a little time, right? I've made the case that Amon-Ra St. Brown might be slightly disappointing because his best seasons have come when either Jameson Williams or Sam Laporta or both have been out for an extended period of time. If you look at the 1 year where they both played a lot, Laporta and Jameson Williams, St. Brown, I think he averaged about 18.5 fantasy points per game.
What year? 2024?
Uh-huh.
18.7. Boo hoo hoo.
That's really good. It might be a little disappointing. It's fifth or sixth overall, but if that's his floor, then take him top six and don't even hesitate. So then it gets more interesting. Then we go to CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson at the end of round one. And they are, you know, right there with Jenty and Barkley and Chase Brown and maybe James Cook. He's going ahead of them, but could be that decision that you have to make. But Lamb and Jefferson at the end of round one, Heath, how do you feel about that?
I am good with Lamb there. It's where I have him, and it's about a half a round earlier than I want to take Justin Jefferson. I do think that Kyler Murray is going to win the quarterback competition. I do think that Kyler Murray is going to be a better passer than J.J. McCarthy, but I don't think that Kyler Murray gets Justin Jefferson in the same zip code as the upside that we saw from him a few years ago. I would anticipate it's still going to be a lower volume pass offense with Kyler at quarterback, partially because Kyler's going to run eight times per game. We've seen about a 28% target share from Justin Jefferson over the last couple of years when both Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson have been on the field. And so 28% target share of probably a slightly below average pass offense puts him in that wide receiver one territory, but it's a low end wide receiver one for me, not a high end. I wouldn't take Jefferson until pick 18.
Heath, last year, five games with Carson Wentz, Justin Jefferson averaged 16.3 PPR points per game on 10 targets per game.
And how many passes per game did Carson Wentz throw?
I'm sure it was huge.
Oh, many, like 40 something.
I'm asking you if you think that that's a reasonable expectation for those who choose to draft Jefferson.
I think that's more of a hope. It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. It's not, what was that, 16 and a half?
16.3.
And I think I have him at like 15.6 in my projections.
And I'm sorry, Carson Wentz, I think he had a few games with more than 40 pass attempts, but he only averaged 33.8 pass attempts per game in those five starts. And I don't think Justin Jefferson caught a touchdown. So he averaged 16-something points per game, whatever you said, without a touchdown, right? Five games. Yeah. He was on pace for 116 catches, 1,622 yards, no touchdowns on 170 targets, with Carson Wentz on pace for 4,134 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 33.8 pass attempts per game.
The volume thing was a weird thing because the very first game he only threw 20 passes. That was also the game that Jordan Addison was still out. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Addison came back and the volume kind of exploded.
Okay. It is, you know, it does make you think if he can put up a 1,600 yard pace with Carson Wentz, can he have a 1,450 yard pace with
that also is part of it. Carson Wentz left two of those games early.
Oh,
so that wasn't necessarily the team's pass attempts per game. That was just Wentz's.
Okay, fair enough. Lamb, Heath, you can help me out with this one. By the way, Dave does have Lamb and Jefferson as his wide receivers 5-6. Heath is going to prefer Drake London to Jefferson. Do you like London or Lamb?
I've got Lamb ahead of London.
All right. I did some like just projection math, basic projection math. You tell me how I did. And it's a little bit of an issue for me with CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
I gave him 156 targets. Why did I give him 156 targets? That's how many he was on pace for from week 7 through 17. Now, okay.
I have him at 161, so we are not far off.
Okay. He's got a pretty consistent yards per target. So I can't remember exactly what the yards per target I gave him was. I think it was his career average. And a 66% catch rate and 8 touchdowns. Comes out to 17 points per game. What do you have?
That sounds almost exactly right. I might have him a little higher than 17 points per game, maybe 17.5. So yards per target, I don't know. I have him a 67% catch rate, so just 1 point higher than you on that. And 13.6 yards per catch, which works out to right around 9.1 yards per target for CeeDee Lamb, which gives you a season of 108 catches, 1,464 yards, and 7.8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I have him at 103 for 1,382 yards and 8 touchdowns, which is 17 points per game, which is usually closer to like wide receiver 10. Last year it would have been wide receiver 6, but 17 points per game, we're in that range, 17.5. Is that enough, guys, for a pick at the 1-2 turn?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say no based on previous wide receiver years and yes based on last year. But okay.
So
look, I'm not saying you can't do better than that.
And you put a big asterisk, like you kind of have made the argument that 2024 wasn't a down year for a wide receiver because on a per game basis, it wasn't. But a few of the guys that were really elite on a per game basis played a fourth of the season.
I didn't count them. I didn't count Rice and Godwin. I didn't count them.
Okay.
When it comes to
2024 would have been what for 17.8 points per game?
Wide receiver 9, I believe. Oh, 17 was wide receiver 9. I don't know about 17.8.
17.8 would have been wide receiver, not counting Chris Godwin. Would have been wide receiver 7.
All right. Well, look, he could obviously do better than that, but Pickens was better than him in that stretch, week 7 through 17. Lamb got more targets, got a ton of end zone targets, somehow didn't catch touchdowns, which was weird. All right, so Lamb at the 1-2 turn, sounds like you guys are good with that. Jefferson, a little bit of a disagreement. Let's move on a little bit into round 2, where we have Drake London, who I find to be, based on comments, based on stuff I see on social media, a very polarizing player.
Drake London?
Was it Drake London?
Okay.
You know, some people just don't see it with him. But in the first 9 games of the year before he got his knee injury, he was the number 3 wide receiver per game. He was on pace for 1,530 yards, 11 touchdowns. Dave, in his career, he has never fully put it together, like for a full season of being just super awesome. I think people are really worried about his quarterback. What do you think about Drake London? He's going in early to mid round 2.
He's never been able to put it together for a full season, and I'm really worried about his quarterback. And so I'm drafting him with the expectation that he's between 15 and 16 PPR points per game, lower than that in half, even lower than that in non. And there are a couple of receivers and certainly some running backs that I see higher upside for than Drake London. It's not to say that he's not a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. He is. But there are other players that I just look at and say, they can be better. And this Atlanta offense, I don't think it's going to be that great. And maybe it means that their defense is going to be great. Maybe that means they're going to be chasing points. And the 9.3 targets per game for Drake London, that's going to go up. Well, if Tua is the quarterback for a big portion of the year, I'm not convinced that the ADOT is going to be particularly good for London. Adam, you've said it yourself. What's Drake London like after the catch?
Bad.
Right. And so if he's going to get a bunch of targets where he's not gaining yards after the catch, you're counting on him to just rack up. You need him to get 10 targets per game. And he came close to that. And I know what he did in the first half of last season. And it's encouraging. But I don't want to draft him based on that number. I want to draft him based kind of on the number that he delivered ultimately, which is 16.8. But I'm not even sure he can get that high. So give me A.J. Brown. Give me Justin Jefferson. Give me the two hot second-year running backs, Hampton and Genty, all ahead of Drake London.
We have a really hilarious thing going on in our chat right now where Dave's son is in the chat and just pumping up Dave. Like, he's the best.
Oh, my God.
He's the GOAT. Does anyone else love Dave's takes? It's very funny. Ryan is an awesome kid, by the way, who I've met several times. Heath, you are pretty high on Drake London.
Yeah, and I think what Dave said, like, I'm basically just projecting him for what he did like he last year, as Dave said, which is 16.8, 16.9, 17 PPR fantasy points per game. I think worrying about Drake London's quarterback is kind of what we've done all year. He's really never had a good quarterback. And so I expect the Stefanski system to be pretty well suited to what Tua does. I agree with Dave. I think it's going to be short area targets. I think it's going to be a lot of targets. I have him projected for 167 on the season, 104 receptions, 1,380 yards, 7.9 touchdowns. He is behind CD Lamb, but not by a lot.
Okay, you shouldn't have to worry about targets. I mean, he really should dominate targets. And they just lost one of their best pass rushers for the year, Atlanta. So, London, does he feel at least safe?
Oh, yeah. High floor.
Okay. So then go ahead.
How many games did he play last year?
12.
Because I know that we like to do the, I was just curious. I know we like to do the last 17 games thing for wide receivers, and especially for Rashee Rice. For Drake London, it's 98 catches, 1,394 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's very close to what I have projected for him.
The thing is with London is those splits. Is with Penix, he's been amazing. With Cousins, he's been bad.
He loves left-handed quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think Dave makes an interesting point about, like, if you think about the yak that the Dolphins wide receivers were capable of on these little inbreakers from Tua, can London be that? I don't know. Maybe we're overthinking it a little bit too much here. And maybe Penix will get the job at some point. So the next group of receivers is super interesting. It's A.J. Brown, George Pickens, Rashee Rice, Nico Collins. That's 11. I think we get to Olave at 12, Neighbors at 13. Maybe you all disagree. I think, is that a different tier? Like, would you separate Nico from Olave? Are they the same tier?
So I think, yes. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to say yes, that there is a difference between Nico and Olave, but it's not by much. I mean, you just look at where they're ranked. I've got Nico at 18. I've got Olave at 29. So obviously a difference between the two. I'm not as worried about Nico's target competition as I am Olave's. And that's probably the difference.
I think there are two wide receivers kind of in their own tier, since we've already talked about Jefferson, for me. And it's Pickens and Rice. And then it's the tier break to the end of the round two guys. So there's two middle of the round two guys for me. And there's a bunch of borderline 2-3 guys for me.
Well, generally speaking, wide receivers 8 through 11, A.J. Brown, George Pickens, Rashee Rice, Nico Collins, I love them. I mean, I'm excited about these guys. You know, they're mostly in the prime of their career, with A.J. Brown being the exception. He's 29 years old. They're really good. I think Nico Collins going at wide receiver 11 overall, think about, didn't last year feel like kind of a disappointing year for Nico Collins? On pace for 1,266 yards and 7 touchdowns. Well, guess what? He was wide receiver 11 per game.
And he had a great start to the year. First 12 games, almost 17 PPR points per game. And then the season kind of ended with a thud for him.
Yeah.
It does feel like do you guys remember what we were so irritated with for the Texans that first part of the year when Nico was so good?
Not really.
That they kept playing Xavier Hutchinson and Christian Kirk over their rookie wide receivers who finally got to play a little bit at the end of the year and flashed. And all we've heard in camp is about how incredible Jaden Higgins looks. And now Tank Dell's back. I think there's just the competition for Nico is significant. But if CJ Stroud can start hitting him on those deeper routes and he can do the yak again, then he can do it on lower volume. Right. But I think one of the reasons he's in a lower tier is I have him lower in terms of projected targets than everybody above him by a pretty significant margin.
Yeah, fair enough. He was on pace for 136 targets last year, Nico Collins. And again, he was wide receiver 11 per game, and it just didn't even feel like he was that good last year. Mm-hmm. So then the other three guys, A.J. Brown, Rashee Rice, George Pickens, we'd be very comfortable with them mid to late round two.
I prefer Pickens and Rice in early round three, and I'm in the minority when it comes to Malik Nabers, but I'm okay with Nabers late round two.
Yeah, Pickens and Rice are top 18 picks for me. I actually have them both ahead of Justin Jefferson.
It doesn't get more consistent than Rashee Rice. Based on his last 17 games, excluding the one where he left early with the torn knee, he's been, you look at his points per game, he's basically been top 5 per game wide receiver in all formats based on 2025, 8th per game in 2024, 5th in non-PPR, 5th in half, and 4th in full based on what he's done, Rashee Rice, in his last 17 healthy games. And it's been so consistent. It hasn't been like, oh, he has this spike 6-game stretch or whatever. He's just so consistent, but I do want to see him looking a little bit better because I thought he looked pretty slow coming off the knee issue. At least it's on my radar, and that's why I don't want to draft on August 6th. Let's take a little time and wait. And for A.J. Brown, I mean, we can end with A.J. Brown. I hope I have this right. I think the Patriots are the only team, the Patriots last year, the only team in the last 3 seasons to finish top 5 in passing yards and not produce either a top 12 wide receiver or an elite tight end. There was actually one other team. It was the Vikings in 2023 who had an elite wide receiver. Justin Jefferson just only played 10 games. This is an amazing situation for AJ Brown. They didn't even throw that much last year. They went 14-3. They were 23rd in pass attempts. When they lost games, they threw more. When they gave up 20 or more points, they threw more. It won't be the same type of success. They're going to throw more. He's so good. This is, it's so obvious. AJ Brown's going to be amazing. He's my guy, Heath. He's my guy.
Dave is changing clothes. He's so excited. Maybe he's not changing clothes. Maybe he's just taking clothes off because Adam's takes
not
were
that
so
excited.
Adam's takes were so hot. I would guess, listen, I am the low guy on AJ Brown. He's your guy. And I think if he's 100% healthy and Drake May remains a historically efficient passer and the pass volume goes up, then I'm going to look really, really dumb. I would guess the Patriots were also one of the few teams, if not the only teams, to be top 5 in pass yards and pass touchdowns and outside of the top 20 in pass attempts. So I think there is some regression coming on the efficiency. There's probably more passing coming because of that. We'll see if A.J. Brown can stay healthy and happy and engaged.
healthy, happy, and engaged. What I wish for every 29-year-old. I think that's when I got engaged. No, not quite.
I mean,
that's when I met my wife.
Probably not going to be as healthy and happy and engaged as Justin Herbert is, but.
Exactly.
Who is?
What's that?
I said, who is?
Yeah, who is, exactly.
By the way, I share your enthusiasm with A.J. Brown. I'd take him ahead of London, Nico, Pickens, Rashee Rice. Just take a look at the number of wide receivers under Josh McDaniel's watch who have averaged, goodness, I think it's like 9 targets per game. There's been 14 of them in a season that have averaged 9+. And a lot of them were like Julian Edelman and Wes Welker types, but Brandon Lloyd twice, Devontae Adams twice, Randy Moss, Brandon Marshall. I think A.J. Brown's going to be a big focal point of this offense, just like he was toward the end of his time in Tennessee. I got to run, guys.
Okay. I just did the wave. I was so excited. I did the wave. And I once almost got my butt kicked because I hate the wave at sporting events, Heath. And I yelled at a guy for doing the wave. And it almost ended up really bad. I was very lucky that it didn't end up worse. So,
Well, I'm glad that, I mean, first off, you shouldn't be yelling at people in public spaces. That's just not something you should do. I had a similar experience, except in reverse, when a former Royal came back on a different team and hit a home run in a meaningless game. And my 12-year-old son and I stood up and clapped for him, just kind of show a little respect. And someone yelled at me for clapping for the former Royal. Can you guess who it was? The most wholesome Royal probably in Royals history.
Eric Hosmer.
No. No, this is before pre-Hosmer. This was back in the Mike Sweeney days.
Oh, who was
it? Remember Mike Sweeney?
Mike Sweeney, yeah. Was it him?
Oh, yep.
Oh, okay. Cool, yeah. You weren't giving him our sarcastic applause. You were legitimately.
No, he was at the very end of his career. Both teams were terrible. Mike Sweeney hit a home run. I was like, yeah.
What was your response to the guy who got mad at you?
I did not respond well.
Oh.
There was no physical altercation. My son had a friend with him, and I apologized to the boys on the way home for the way that I had behaved. But I didn't like the way that he talked to us.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, sporting events can bring out the worst in us, can't they? We'll talk to you tomorrow with Wide Receivers Part 2, beginning with Round 3. See you later, everyone.
Paramount Podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Plutophone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, The Matrix, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, or Mean Girls.
That is so fast.
Just stream it for free on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.